Pro-Life to the Max is produced and broadcast by WOMB 89.9 FM Catholic Radio in Bloomington, Indiana.
Ave Maria, welcome to Pro-Life to the Max, a weekly half-hour radio program under the patronage of St. Maximilian Mary Kolbe that is dedicated to keeping you informed on local, state, and national pro-life issues and efforts and inspiring you to get involved. I'm Monica Seeker, so very happy and blessed to be with you during this glorious Easter season and in the beginning of this beautiful month of May that is set aside by Holy Mother Church to honor the Most Blessed Virgin Mary. And if you're listening to me on Friday, it's the Feast of St. Joseph the Worker as well. Wow, graces are abounding during this special time, and that's good news because we certainly need them. Well, we've got an informative show for you today. Debbie Vintage, Executive Director for Children of God for Life, will be joining me in a few moments as we talk about the development of a much-anticipated COVID-19 vaccine. Rhonda and I were blessed to have Debbie with us right about this same time last year when she described for us how there is a billion-dollar market that exists in the research, creation, and sale of cell lines that use aborted fetal material. And these cell lines have found their way into some common vaccines, medicines, and other products. Debbie has been keeping a close eye on the development of vaccines for COVID-19, and some of the things she's seeing is unsettling. Debbie's going to talk with us about what she's uncovered and give us some ideas on what we can do to help persuade researchers and our government leaders to provide an ethical COVID-19 vaccine. But first things first, we'll get started in prayer. Our Lady of Guadalupe, with your unborn child Jesus, you appeared to Juan Diego and said, "Here I shall listen to their weeping and their sorrows. I shall take them all to my heart, and I shall cure their many sufferings, afflictions, and sorrows." And so we ask you to take all abortion facilities and workers, pharmaceutical companies, all elected and appointed officials and judges into your heart. Our Lady, touch the hearts of all women and men contemplating an abortion who feel alone, confused, and don't know where to turn. Take them to your heart. For all unborn children, take them to your heart. For those who believe they do not have a choice, take them to your heart. For those who have had an abortion and are looking for peace, take them to your heart. For those who perform abortions, take them to your heart. For pharmaceutical companies that produce contraceptives and pills that induce abortions, take them to your heart. For all candidates, elected and appointed officials and judges, all government leaders, take them to your heart. For corporations that contribute to the abortion industry, take them to your heart. Our Lady of Guadalupe, please hear us as we weep for all the sufferings, afflictions, and sorrows that abortion has caused. Take us all to your heart and obtain for us the miraculous conversions we need to become a nation dedicated to life. Amen. Let's go now to this week's In the News. As the World Health Organization declares abortion as an essential medical procedure in response to the COVID-19 pandemic, the U.S. abortion lobby is putting pressure on the federal government to remove restrictions on the abortion pill in order to facilitate what they call self-managed or at-home abortions. The abortion industry itself favors dispensing abortion pills rather than doing in-clinic surgical abortions due to ease of distribution and significantly lower overhead costs. The abortion industry views the drug-based method as the future of abortion. Online instructional videos are widely available on the internet showing women how to obtain and use the abortion pill. One such video series, credentialed by the World Health Organization, was recently launched by the humanitarian aid group Doctors Without Borders and coaches women on how to induce their own abortion at home up to 22 weeks. And the Catholic News Agency has taken the acting president and CEO of Planned Parenthood to task for calling the easier access to chemical abortions a silver lining in the coronavirus pandemic. CNA reports reported on an interview that Alexis McGill-Johnson gave to Democracy Now!, in which she noted how the expansion of telehealth through apps like Skype have increased access to chemical abortions. Pro-life leaders have grown concerned about an increase in chemical abortions during the epidemic and have warned that remote medical abortions via telemedicine and the mail represent the next frontier of the abortion industry. McGill-Johnson also called the temporary state bans on elective abortions during the pandemic unconscionable. And a Russian-American journalist living in New York is reporting that American abortion facilities are seeing up to a 400% rise in abortion requests since the start of COVID-19. Based on interviews conducted throughout the country with clinic personnel, the columnist said that abortion centers are seeing an increase in patient load with no end in sight. According to the article at RT.com, women are worried about money and about bringing a baby into the world in which they claim is so unpredictable. One woman told the reporter, "Having a child right now feels like a big luxury." Kristen Hawkins with Students for Life is sounding the alarm about how, because of the coronavirus, the internet is rapidly becoming the new battleground over abortion and impurity. Hawkins noted how Planned Parenthood is creatively targeting teenagers online with its sex ed chatbot. The bot uses a computer algorithm to field all questions on sexuality, abortion, contraception, and gender identity. Planned Parenthood hired a highly paid New York City consulting firm to help spread the word about their chatbot. And Hawkins is greatly concerned about the millions of young people who will be subjected to the kind of sexual perversity that is part of Planned Parenthood's philosophy. And finally, around 23 unborn children had their lives intentionally ended this past Thursday at the Bloomington Planned Parenthood. Women came to 421 South College Avenue from Kentucky, Tennessee, and various Hoosier counties to have their unborn babies killed. The Bloomington abortion facility continues to see the same upward trend in abortion numbers as the rest of the country because of fears associated with the pandemic. This week, Governor Holcomb lifted restrictions on elective medical procedures, including abortion, but the ban produced no decline in abortion numbers while it was in effect. And that's your weekly in the news. So amidst this serious COVID-19 epidemic, the race is on to find a vaccine that will lessen the spread of the disease. And while developing an effective and safe vaccine as soon as possible is important, we have to make sure that that route does not involve the use of ethically problematic cell lines. Unfortunately, some alarming news has come out that some of the vaccines that are currently being developed are being produced by using cell lines that were created from the tissue of aborted babies. Last May, we had Debbie Vintage, Executive Director for Children of God for Life, on the show to discuss her organization's campaign for the production of ethical vaccines. And today, I've got her back on the phone to tell us about some of these COVID-19 vaccines that are currently being developed and what we can do to urge our leaders to ensure that basic moral principles are being followed in their development. Well, now, this is obviously a very important and timely topic as we're in the midst of suffering through this coronavirus where there are just so many unknowns right now. And we can appreciate why there is a rush to get the spread of this disease stopped via inoculation. And Debbie, you've always got your ear to the ground whenever the topic of a new vaccine comes up because you're painfully aware of how tempting it is for these pharmaceutical companies to use cell lines that have been developed from the tissue of aborted babies when they go to produce these vaccines. So could we first just start off by having you explain in general terms how a vaccine is developed and why the need for a medium like a human cell line is needed?
Well, the long and the short of it is, first of all, there is no need ever to use an aborted fetal cell line, mm-hmm. never. There isn't a single vaccine that's on the market today that could not be produced morally. And probably that is no more evident than what we've seen with measles, mumps, rubella. That's a real good one to use because all over the world, people seem to have been stuck on this using the aborted fetal cells, except in Japan. Hmm. And in Japan, they have two vaccines, actually. One is produced by the Kitasato Institute, which has now actually been bought by another company, Daiichi Senkyo, and also Mitsubishi Tanabe. Both of these companies are using moral cell lines. One uses hen eggs, quail eggs, and the other one uses rabbit cells for their rubella portion of that vaccine. It's the rubella portion that uses the aborted fetal. So when they combine it into MMR, you have no choice. Mm-hmm. And here in the United States and in most parts of the world, you have no choice either. Mm-hmm. You know, but we do know that we can get them from Japan. We'd like to try to get them from Japan, I should say. And we know a number of people that we've given assistance to help them get in touch with the right people when they want to travel to Japan to get those vaccines. And, you know, Monica, it just breaks my heart to think that we're such an advanced country, and yet people have to go to Japan.
Yes.
You know, to get something that's morally produced.
Yeah, so why are they doing this? Why are they turning to the human cell lines made from the aborted tissue?
Well, it depends. In some cases, they're doing it because, first of all, it's economical. Second reasoning might be that they've used it in other vaccines before. It works great. Why switch? Some people may just be using it out of ignorance as to, you know, the way that the country is going to accept or not accept that vaccine. Mm-hmm. But there are so many cell lines out there that can be used. And the good news is that as like in using COVID-19 as our example, it's a perfect opportunity for us as a country, as a concerned people, you know, regarding the use of the aborted fetal pro-life community to go forward and stop it before it gets to the market. And
absolutely,
it can be done.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And with the COVID-19, the good news, as I was saying, is right now we've got 12 that I have researched so far out of over 40 vaccines that are in development. We've got 12 that are morally produced and only 5 that are not.
Oh, wow. That's something.
It is good.
Good, yeah. So these cell lines, though, tell us why are they needed in the development of a vaccine?
Okay, well, they're not always. And it's interesting you're asking that question because in the 12 companies, there's several that aren't using cell lines at all.
Okay.
But the basic concept is this: in every vaccine that we've got out there right now using these cell lines, you have a virus. Okay, and we'll use rubella as the easiest one. There's just so much information on rubella virus. But rubella is, they take the virus and they're going to cultivate it on a cell line. The cell line itself, and we'll use where the WI38 is what the name of the cell line is that they cultivated on, that came from an abortion that was done in the 1960s. It was, WI38 stands for Wistar Institute. It is specimen number 38. These were, abortion was not legal in the United States. These are abortions that were done in Sweden, and the babies were being shipped to the United States for research at the Wistar Institute in Pennsylvania. And so that was, those cell lines, and by the way, WI standing for Wistar Institute, 38 is the 30, not the 38th abortion, it's the 38th specimen. When I say that, it's because what they would do in their science document, they note this. From the very first abortion that was done, they said, okay, this baby is going to be called WI1. And out of that WI1 aborted baby, they took the lung tissue and they took the kidney. And so they numbered that WI1, WI2, mm-hmm. but it was only one abortion. So okay. The numbers are slightly off. WI38 is actually the 32nd abortion.
Oh, 30, wow. That's still a lot, isn't it?
Wow. It is. But that's nothing compared with the virus itself. When the virus, the rubella virus is called RA273. If you were to look at the package insert for the MMR, you would see this under the rubella information. But R stands for rubella, A stands for abortion, 27 is the 27th baby that was aborted, and 3 is the third tissue that was taken from that baby where they found the live virus. And this happened during the 1964 rubella epidemic when doctors were advising pregnant women to abort their babies. Because there's a chance that if the mother contracts rubella in her first trimester, then she could have, her baby could be born with some form of congenital rubella syndrome. And that might mean deafness or blindness, and might mean a, you know, completely disabled baby. A lot of babies also died, miscarriage. So women were aborting their babies. Mm-hmm. Now, once they, in that 27th abortion, 25 of those were elective abortions, 2 were miscarriages. So they didn't stop there, though. When they continued on, even though they had the virus, they had it successfully isolated, they continued maybe to try to find a more virulent strain. They didn't ever say why, but they kept going, and there's more research documents afterward. By the time they were done, there were 67 elective abortions that were involved with rubella virus. So when you add that to the 32 for WI38, you get 99 abortions for one vaccine.
And so what was the purpose of them taking that? The cell lines then?
Well, they didn't have to. The purpose, I think, really, if you look at the timeline, this was happening in the late 1960s, early 70s. In fact, the MMR was approved finally in 1979, the new one, We had a moral rubella vaccine on the market already. We had a moral, you know, measles and mumps are fine. They're morally produced in chicken eggs. Mm-hmm. It was the rubella portion. And it's a very good possibility that it was done to justify Roe versus Wade.
Wow.
In 1973.
Okay.
Because that way they could say, look, all the good we got from this. You know, we were able to prevent abortion. I mean, what a story you can tell if you think about it, that you could say, oh, we don't, you know, you don't have to worry about abortion. It's not, you know, it's not a problem. But if you need to do it, look at the good that we got out of this. It's, you know, that seems to be the most logical reason why they would have done it.
Okay. So with this background then on the rubella vaccine, then let's jump to the COVID-19 vaccine. And you've been researching then these pharmaceutical companies. And so just tell us then, what are you finding out there?
Well, I'll look at the good side and the bad side, whichever one
okay.
you want me to go through first. But let's use the bad side first.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. The first one that got touted out there, and first of all, just to give you a little information, whenever there's something like this going on, my eyes are glued to the computer to find as much
are.
Information.
Yes.
Yeah, because yes. everyone's going to ask me, so
That's
I've got to
right.
get it, nip it in the bud.
We appreciate that, too, so thank you.
Well, yeah, I'm hoping that I'm earning my angel wings here.
You are.
Wow. But anyway, so the first company was Moderna, and I went in to look because they were, were announcing they were so close, they're in clinical trials, and I'm thinking, my goodness, you know, you haven't even had a chance to test safety on it, but let's see how it's done. This one took quite a bit of time to research, mm-hmm. and they did something that's I don't want to get too technical for mm-hmm. your listeners, mm-hmm. but there is a protein in the actual virus. It's called a spike S protein, and it looks like, if you've ever seen the pictures on TV and it shows the little things that are sticking up, they look, you know, what the virus looks like.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever seen any
yes.
thing on? Yep. Okay, so those little spikes that are sticking, that's what the spike S is, and that's how that virus penetrates a cell
okay.
and infects it. So what they did, Moderna did, is they decided to make their own spike, okay, S, so that when they gave the vaccine, it would penetrate the cell and give it the immunity. Mm-hmm. Then it would be able to fight if the virus should actually attack the person later on. Well, there, when I looked up the spike S protein, there were two ways to make it. One was using aborted fetal cell lines, and one was using a moral source. They chose the aborted fetal. Don't know why they did it. They don't say why. They just say that they used what's called HEK-293.
Uh-huh.
HEK stands for human embryonic kidney, and 293 is the 293rd specimen. So that cell line, that was the first one that I uncovered. Now, I can tell you this, Monica, as a person who has a heart, besides, you know, having to do this, I did not want to release this information
sure,
to the public.
Sure, yes, right.
I mean, we have a country that is in complete panic.
Yes.
There was no way that I could do this. And I sat on this, and I'm praying to the Lord and asking mm-hmm. him, please help me find something to deal with this, because mm-hmm. I just didn't want to have to do it. Lo and behold, we got another company. It's called Inovio, and they were making news. I went in and looked at Inovio and found out, oh, well, my goodness, look at this. They're not using aborted fetal cells. They're using the patient's own blood or donor blood
Good.
In the creation of their vaccine. And so I was able to do the press release.
Yes.
I wasn't going to do it until I could give them somebody
some
hope.
Good news, yes.
Yep. And no sooner did I get that done and thinking, oh, good, now I can relax a little bit. Here comes Johnson & Johnson.
Yeah, Johnson with Janssen Johnson. Pharmaceuticals, huh?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep. Janssen Pharmaceutical, they own, they have their own, what they call their proprietary cell line, and they use aborted fetal cell line PERC6. PERC6 is taken from the retinal tissue of an 18-week gestation baby, and it was introduced into the United States in 2001 by scientists that were here from the Netherlands. And they graphically described the abortion and how the mother wanted to get rid of the fetus and that the father was unknown and that it was made specifically for the pharmaceutical industry.
Oh.
So it's a graphic description of what they were doing in these FDA hearings. And so Johnson & Johnson, you know, shame on them. They didn't have to do it that way. Meanwhile, we've got other companies that are coming out with one is a good one. It's called Pluristem, and it uses placenta that's been donated from newborn babies.
Okay,
the mother donated for research. There's a British company called BAT. They're using tobacco leaves.
That's interesting. Never heard that one. Wow.
It is. There's another one, and I love this one, Novavax. I like this because it was probably 2018, I guess, was when we announced that GlaxoSmithKline had actually finally done the right thing. They came out with a moral shingles vaccine. And it was very, you know, it was one of those ones I was waiting for. I couldn't wait for it to finally be approved. It was. And when it came out, the results that would come in a year later, at the time, there was only one that was put out by Merck called Zostavax for shingles, and it used aborted fetal cells. This one comes out, and it's using something called saponin. And saponin comes from the bark of an evergreen tree. Oh, my goodness. So
there are a lot of other alternatives out here is the bottom line.
Oh, sure. Absolutely. There's no reason to do it immorally. And this Novavax, coronavirus also uses the saponin. So we're very excited about that one, too.
Good. And we might mention, too, all of this information is available on your website, correct?
It is. And, you know, I'll tell you that I was trying to figure out the easiest way to put this up on our website, and I thought, you know, we have a chart of vaccines that's for U.S. and Canada, and it will list every single aborted fetal product that we know of. It fits on one page, but we go through the disease and then the manufacturer, and then if there's an ethical version, that falls over on the right-hand side. So when it came to COVID-19, where am I going to put all these? I can't fit them on this page. So what we did is I created the document and then I hyperlinked it so that people can go in on the website. It's in alphabetical order by disease name, so you would see COVID-19. It says click here, and there you go.
Okay, and let's mention that website too, COG, so that's COG for Life, COGforLife.org, correct?
Correct.
Okay.
Yep. And that's FOR Life. Sometimes people want to put the number four, but it's COGFOR.
Thank you. Yes, FOR. Yeah, thank you. And I know that your website is just very, very helpful because everything's there. So you can go see if you're getting a vaccine. Okay, is this where are the ethical ones and where are they not? So it's just great. Yeah. So now I have a question, too, about are these more recent abortions then that, for example, that Janssen and Moderna is using? Or are they just these older stem cell lines? What's going on there?
Well, no, they're older cell lines. The HEK, from what we know, it's interesting. That one, they actually said, you know, all the information on it got lost. They knew that the abortion was done in 1972. That was, you know, from the FDA hearings. PERC6 was done in 1985. But it wasn't. We never heard of it or saw it being introduced to anywhere until 2001. So I think that though the abortion was done, maybe they were having a little difficulty. I don't know. It took them a long time to get that cell line developed. It is being used by the company was called Crucell. They have been since bought out by another company and then bought out again. You know, these companies do this all the time just to make it more interesting to try to find information, right?
Mm-hmm.
But they introduced it in 2001. So that PERC6 would have been the most recent. However, in 2015, there's a new aborted fetal cell line out there. It's called Walvax 2. This was developed. An abortion was done in China. We are pretty sure it was part of the one-child policy, though they don't say that specifically. They, you know, they did notice that there was previous uterine scarring from a previous pregnancy, which that's why I think they probably did that, why the abortion was done, in other words. But the intent was to replace two existing cell lines, WI38 and MRC5, because what was happening in China was that their supply was running low and they didn't want to have to keep ordering from the United States, and so they simply decided to do their own. And that cell line was developed guess where in China? Wuhan.
Oh, no way.
Yeah. If you go to the science document, it was kind of just unusual. I mean, I probably knew it back in 2015, but who
didn't
cared?
Think much
I'd
about
nobody.
It, right? We didn't know. Who had heard of Wuhan back then, right?
Exactly. So when somebody had asked me about that cell line again, I went back to the science document because I'm saying, he's right here, it's proven. And here's the science, and I pulled it up, and they were right up at the top. It said Wuhan University. So, yeah, the next question is, are the vaccines coming out of China going to use that cell line? So one of them is called CanSino Biologics. It does use an aborted fetal cell, but it's not using the Walvax. It's using the human embryonic kidney again. And then on the other hand, there is another one that I'm investigating. Can't bring it out yet, but it looks to me like it is using aborted fetal cells. The Walvax 2 aborted fetal cell. I can't tell yet because of the way that they're the word I want to say? See, people, you look at their documents, and unless you have a patent that really has to give all the details, mm-hmm. you can't find out the information. And they're very guarded in what they release out of China. Mm-hmm. No small surprise.
Yeah, yeah.
They don't tell anybody a whole lot. But it appears that because they're saying that this is the company's own cell line, and they just keep calling it human diploid. I know it's aborted fetal. I just am not sure yet if it's Walvax.
Okay.
But I have a feeling it is.
Okay, all right. And I know we're starting to run up against time here, so I just want to quickly get in. So when people go to look for a vaccine, if they're going to get this COVID-19 vaccine, I suggest they go to your website, correct? Is that the best thing
yes.
to do? See what's ethically available. And
correct.
Just, if you can, hold tight, because you said they're developing ethical ones. And I presume they will all be on the market eventually. Is that correct?
Eventually. Well, some will and some won't.
Okay,
you know,
that's
I'm pretty
true.
Sure, Monica, that when you've got over 40 people vying, you know, to get in there,
uh-huh.
some of them are going to drop off.
That's true.
Financially, they're not going to make it.
That's true, too.
But as we learn about them, I'm going to post. And there is another good one. I want to bring this up. This is so important. There's a company called AVM Biotechnology.
Okay.
AVM does stand for Ave Maria.
Oh.
The company is a Catholic, the doctor is a Catholic adult stem cell scientist, extremely pro-life. She has a drug that they were developing that was for cancer. It was to, you know, prevent, it was to treat cancer, and it basically it's a steroid that super charges your immune system, okay? They found it works against COVID, too. So
that
now,
is wonderful.
Yeah. So they just got FDA approval to move forward with it on the 27th of March, so it'll start going through its trials and, you know, investigational new drug application. So it's just wonderful news.
That is, and praise God. Yeah, we do have good Catholic doctors out there making a difference.
That's right.
Yeah, yeah. And you know what? I quickly want to bring up, too, now, the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops, and I know there were leaders from healthcare and bioethics and other pro-life organizations, they wrote a letter to the Trump administration urging them to do all that they can to make sure that COVID-19 vaccines are ethically produced and free from any connection to abortion. So I presume you saw that letter, and so
what I signed it. We're
okay.
one of the signatures.
Good. I thought you might be. Of course. Yes. Good. Okay. So, and is there anything more that, you know, that our church leaders can do, that we can do to make sure, you know, that we have these ethically safe vaccines?
Well, I can tell you that what happened as a result of that USCCB letter, that it went out to every single diocese in the country. And
okay.
so all of the different conferences, like in Florida, our Florida Conference of Catholic Bishops put out an alert to every diocese within the state of Florida.
Wonderful.
And said, yeah, and so it's out there, and pro-life, like I sign up to get their updates, so mm-hmm. I got the update. It's urging us to do the same, to write letters to President Trump,
mm-hmm.
Vice President Trump, to the Department of Health and Human Services, to ask for the moral, you know, don't to put us in this position, because there will be a lot of people that will say no.
They'll have to refuse,
Yeah, that's right. And if you want to be able to effectively, you know, vaccinate people, then you better have something that people can use. And we want it to be safe, too. That's another thing that concerns me.
Yeah.
You know, I've seen a number of news stories out there where they're going in, you know, head on into doing things. And I just saw it the other day, and they vaccinated a woman. She died, you know, from the they didn't tell us which vaccine it was.
Well, you bring up a good point. We do want it to be safe as well, not, you know, not only ethically, but safe for those that are going to receive the vaccine. Absolutely a good point. And I might mention, too, to our listeners, our own archdiocese put out, I know, calls for contacting the Trump administration as well and just voicing your concerns, you know, just saying, yeah, we desire these ethical vaccines. And I think we've got a good man there that will really honor that request, too. So, yeah, Debbie Vintage, Executive Director for Children of God for Life, thank you so much for taking the time to be with us today and just for all you are doing to help end the use of aborted fetal material in vaccines and medicines. And you are truly really one of the unsung heroes in this battle for life and purity. So we appreciate you.
I'm very glad to help. And I would ask you in closing to please keep, especially in your prayers, Bishop Strickland out of the Diocese of
yes.
Tyler.
Yes.
And if you saw any of his statements on this, but
yes.
he has come right out and said, if it uses aborted fetal cells, I'm not using the vaccine.
Excellent point, and I loved that. You're right. Keep him in prayer and lift it up. Yes. He is a very courageous leader. Thank you.
He is. He's a wonderful, wonderful holy bishop. And I would pray that all of our bishops would take that stand. We'd have a moral vaccine. That would That's a guarantee.
There you go, and a good note to end on. So make sure you do check out Debbie's website at cogforlife.org. That's cogforlife.org. And that stands for Children of God for Life. All the vital information on the COVID-19 vaccine will be posted there. Well, thanks so much for joining us. Until next time, let us heed the warning of St. Maximilian Mary Kolbe that the most deadly poison of our time is indifference. Let's pray for one another that we may be consumed with a desire to save lives and souls, to give the greatest possible honor and glory to God. Ave Maria.
Thank you for listening to Pro-Life to the Max, a production of WOMB Catholic Radio. To learn more about this program and how you can help us to continue to produce and broadcast this content, visit us online at WOMBradio.com.